You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to the book of Acts, 4th chapter. We started teaching last week. We actually just kind of flowed into it. We were teaching in the month of, for the most of the part, January and February, on authority, what the Bible says about authority, that you and I have been given authority, and you and I are responsible for most of what goes on in life. You say, well, I thought God was. Well, He is through us. I mean, He's waiting on us to move. I think God gets a bad rap in many cases because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Are you with me? And even the earth as a whole is in the mess it's in because of man, not because of God. Death entered the world because of Adam's sin. And when sin came, death came. And so you really can't put that on God. God gave Adam the responsibility of the earth. That's all in Genesis 1. You know, it's there in the Bible for you to read. And when he sinned, he brought in the curse because he was responsible for the earth. And so it took a man to get us out of the mess, but there were no men that were perfect, and no men sinless, and no men that weren't born in this under this curse, because everybody's born through Adam, and Eve was the mother of all living. So someone had to come in from the outside. You know, I mentioned that earlier. And that someone is Jesus. And Jesus, as God, came down here and became a man. God became another man, a new man, a brand new man, sinless man, who didn't have the sin of Adam because he came from heaven. See, he wasn't born through Adam. He had a mother, but his father was God. And so he came in here and he redeemed us. And so just as Adam messed up everything, Jesus fixed everything. But see, there's still a problem. We still have a choice as to which one we want to be in. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. See, the only way out of this mess is to be born again. The problem is being born into this earth. So the way out of it is to be born from outside, or born from above, or born from heaven, or born again, as Jesus said in John 3rd chapter. To be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. And so Jesus came down and started a whole new race. He came down and started called Christians. What we call Christianity. And see, He bestowed upon us authority as Christians. That's why we're supposed to pray. That's why we're supposed to pray for each other and live right and so on and extend the kingdom, as it were, till we go on to be with the Lord. And one day He'll come back, but until then, we're here. And I know it's kind of scary, but we're it. God really depends on us to bring His will to pass. He depends on us to promote the gospel. He depends on us to live holy, walk holy, and represent Him. And that's where we've got to take our authority and take our responsibility and be the people God called us to be. Amen? So we went from authority into exercising that authority through the use of the name of Jesus. And last week we started on the name of Jesus, and that's the series that we're on right now. It kind of all ties together, but specifically we're on the name of Jesus. And tonight I want to talk about this name from the Scripture, this name given to us. Everyone say, given to us. See, it's interesting. God has delegated authority to us as the church. That's why He tells us to pray when things go wrong. He tells us specific things to pray about specific situations. He tells us when sickness comes, we need to pray for one another to be healed. He tells us to tell people about the Lord so they can be saved. And tells us to be a light and shine our light and live holy and live all these things, see. And He has given us not only responsibility, but He's given us authority to carry out the responsibility. He didn't stick us in a classroom with a bunch of kids and not give us the authority to discipline them. Are you with me? I'm not saying whoop them. I'm just saying you need to keep order in the classroom, see, because you've been given the authority as the teacher. You're not the ultimate authority in a school, but you have been delegated authority in that classroom. You're not an authority over everybody in the world, but you are an authority over your life and your little world that you're in. And the way you do that is use that name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody found Acts 4. Acts 4 is where Peter is recounting what happened in Acts 3. He's abducted by these Pharisees and Sadducees and religious sees that couldn't see anything. I always love what Brother Osteen said about the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection. They believe in the supernatural. They believe in spirits. And the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in the supernatural angelic beings or dreams or visions. And he always says, since they did not believe in the resurrection, they were sad, you see. Okay. Well, anyway, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always persecuting the Christians in the early church, the book of Acts. And so they abducted Peter and John because a lame man was healed in Acts 3. And we'll go back and talk about that in just a minute. But they abducted them and asked them, how'd they do this and what authority did they do it in? Who gave them the authority to do this, to heal this man and do this miracle? Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. I'm reading New King James here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man. I like that. Healing is a good deed done. Healing is always a good deed. Healing is not bad. It's good. God always calls it good. If we're to be examined for this good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Wow. I mean, that's not hard to understand. In fact, let me explain that to you. If we're to be examined or judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? You want to make it a little clearer? Okay. The point is, it's as clear as it can be. I mean, you can't make it any clearer than that. They're asking him by what means they did this miracle. That's a good question. Because you'll get all kinds of different answers from theologians. You'll get all kinds of different answers from Christians, just laymen. You'll get different answers maybe in this church or just from people that don't even know the God. They'll say all kinds of things. They'll say, well, the apostles did this because, well, they were special. They were the apostles. Or the apostles did this because it was a special day that God did these things. Or the apostles did this. Well, hey, whoa, why don't we just ask the apostles? And listen to what they said. Here's what they said. I don't know about anybody else, but I know what they said. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Wow. Wait a minute. I thought Peter and John did that in Acts 3, didn't they? That's what it says. If you go and read it, it says they did it. But they gave the glory to God because it was the power of God that raised him and healed that man. It was the power of God that did that miracle through Peter and John as they used the name. But as they used the name, Jesus came on the scene, didn't he? And they turned right around and said, by the name of Jesus, and then they turned around and said, by him. Wow. So when you and I pray in Jesus' name and something happens, it's because we use the name, but Jesus is the one that did it as we use the name. You getting it? Now, what if we didn't use the name? Well, he wouldn't do it, would he? Because that's our responsibility to use the name. It's his responsibility to back it up. And when it's all said and done, he gets the glory. Make sense? But now that doesn't let us off the hook. We've still got to use the name. I know it's redundant, but I want to make sure y'all get it. I want to make sure I get it. I've got to keep using that name. And there is an effort, you know, be it demonic, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, to get us, the church, to not use that name. To not pray in that name, to not say that name. And of course, the world hates that name. We know that. When they use the name, they use it like a cuss word. When they stump their toe, they'll say Jesus Christ or, you know, something. They use it in a terrible sense, not in a biblical sense, not in a powerful sense. They want to cheapen the name and make it out to be nothing. But we as Christians, it's the name we were saved by and the name we've been given to use in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, so he says this. If we this day be judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Listen to the 12th verse. Nor is there salvation in any other or any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The New International Version says given to men. Everybody say the name is given to men. I like that. In fact, we can say it another way. Let's say this together. The name is given to me. Okay. Why is it given to us? Well, obviously it's given to us that we might be saved. Well, how does that help? We can call on that name, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us that. Oh, hallelujah. So we've been given this name, and it says this, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That word saved just means delivered, set free, not just forgiven of sins, not just going to heaven, but also healed and delivered and made whole. It's translated that way in many cases in the New Testament. It's translated made whole. It's translated healed. It's translated saved. And so that name, we've been given that name, but we've been given that name for a purpose. It's His name, but we've been given it. For salvation. For deliverance. For healing. For peace. For victory. How are we going to get out of this mess? Well, we've been given the name. Well, why didn't God do something? Because He gave you the name so you could do something. You can pray. Woo! You can get that name, Jesus, on your lips and pray, and salvation will come, and deliverance will come, and healing will come. Because it wasn't just old holy Peter and John could do that. That name's been given to all of us. Amen. Turn back over to Acts 3, looking at that incident that did take place that they're talking about. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. There's a beggar at the gate, and he'd been there many years. Since he was born, he was born lame. And they laid him there, and he asked alms. Who see in third verse, Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What did he have? The name. He had it. It was his to use. By right of being an apostle? No. By right of being a Christian. By right of being a believer in Jesus Christ. When he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the name was bestowed upon him. And he had this name to use freely. Hallelujah. And thank God he did. Thank God he used it. And he gave all the credit back to that name and to Jesus who is behind that name. And we just read that account in the fourth chapter. So it says here, sixth verse, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have. He had something. You know, church, we have something. You say, well, I don't have a job. Well, I have something. I have the name. Are you with me? We can pray. We can use that name, and God will move heaven and earth on our behalf. And He'll cause things to line up and start to happen if we'll start trusting Him, believing Him. Well, I got this going on, that going on. I don't have this, and I don't have that. Well, hey, you got something. You got the name. The most powerful name in the whole universe. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under earth. We talked about that last week, about how that name was above every name. And over there in Philippians 2nd chapter, and Ephesians the 1st chapter, and Hebrews the 1st chapter also, where He had a more excellent name than the angels, and by inheritance had obtained a more excellent name than all the angels. And that name, He was highly exalted and given a name above every name in Philippians the 2nd chapter. That the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. In Ephesians 1 verse 19, Paul's praying. He said, oh, that we'd know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power when He raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in the age or world to come. Hallelujah. That name is Lord. Jesus is Lord of heaven, earth, and under the earth. Jesus is Lord now and forever. Woo! That's a powerful name. Amen? I mean, we talk about families like Rockefellers, you know. And, of course, this day and age, we'd have to say Gates, Bill Gates. You know, that name carries a lot of weight, a lot of clout, you know, when you talk about big names. Well, there's no name like Jesus' name. And you and I carry that name. That name's been given to us. That's why we pray. When we pray, things happen. Not because we're special. Not because we're perfect. Not because we got everything figured out. Not because we're better than anybody else. No, it's because of the name of Jesus on our lips. Because we've been given that name whereby we might be saved. When things go wrong, we got someone to call on. We got a name we can say and speak. Hallelujah. We can say that name. We can pray that name. Hallelujah. And things begin to happen. So, he said, "Such as I have, give I thee. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the Bible tells us, of course, the man was healed. So we see from, you know, when you think of it, and I was meditating on this, on the name and, you know, on the fact that it's been given to us, given to the church. God forbid we wouldn't use it. We were given it to it, given the name for a purpose. There's always a purpose behind it. What are the reasons somebody would give a name to somebody? You know, one would be, you could say power of attorney. We understand power of attorney. That's when someone turns their estate over to someone because of health reasons or mental abilities just not capable. People get old sometimes and they'll sign over their rights to their accounts and everything, but so they can continue to function financially with someone that has a good head and a sane head. That'd be a power of attorney. And they can be limited or they can be complete. Power attorneys have all kinds of levels that you can write them on. People can go off to another country and want a business to continue and can sign over certain rights or certain check writing privileges that have certain amounts. That's a limited power of attorney. We understand that. Mark 16 chapter is a perfect example of that. When Jesus left and went to heaven, the Bible tells us, he said this to his disciples and to us, when you think about it. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." How many of you believe? Okay. See, he says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He didn't say these signs will follow the apostles. He's talking to the apostles about preaching to people and getting them saved. And he told the apostles that these signs will follow them that believe what you preach to them. So if I believe what Peter preached, then I would be saved just by virtue of that scripture. If I believe the gospel, the good news that Paul preached and Peter preached and the apostles preached, if I believe it, then I'd be saved. That's what it says. But it also says these signs will follow me. It follows them that believe. And then he goes on and says, "In my name they shall." That would be a power of attorney, a conferring or transferring of authority over to someone through a power of attorney, giving them the name to use. Do that for several reasons, you know. But we could see to carry on the business, as it were, to carry on the things that Jesus was doing. If he was leaving, then he'd want to carry on, and he signed over us the name, but for a purpose. So we cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on sick, and they recover. Amen? That's why we have it. We need to be using it for that purpose. Another reason you might use the name is, of course, power of attorney. And then this would be a good one. If you get married, the woman takes on the name of the husband. Isn't that the case? And what goes with that? Full rights. Joint ownership. Hello? If you don't believe that, you've never been to an attorney. Or gone through a divorce, I can tell you that. Are you with me? I haven't been through it, but I mean, I know, you know, the way the law reads it, just joint ownership. Because someone carries your name. Hallelujah. And that's kind of like us. When you think about it. In fact, turn over to Ephesians 5. Just think of several reasons here and going through the scripture why God would give us the name. Ephesians 5. You all know this, and I'm not preaching on marriage here, but I just want to make this point. Not that y'all don't need preaching on marriage. We all do, amen. Notice what it says, 25th verse, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." and gave himself for it. So he's talking about wives in the sense of the church, husbands in the sense of Jesus. Husband loves wives just as Christ loves the church. Church is the bride of Christ, metaphorically speaking or symbolically speaking. We're married to Jesus, and we took on his name. We're now Jesus' people. Hello. So he goes on, says, that he might sanctify, cleanse her, 26th verse, cleanse her meaning the church. And of course, this is just a picture. Other times, we're the body of Christ, and that would be a male in that sense. But for the sake of the argument that he's making here, we're like a bride. We're married to Jesus. And boy, that argument does pan out, and that logic does make sense when you think of the fact that we now have taken on another name. Even Paul, you know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, he was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he had a vision of Jesus. And, of course, that's where he got his call. And Jesus said this to him, said that he would bear his name to the Gentiles. Bear his name. Wow. The Bible even tells us that he has picked out the Gentiles for his name. Chosen the Gentiles out for his name. Hallelujah. If anything we've taken on is not the name of International Outreach Church, not the name of First Baptist, not the name of First Assembly, not the name of Lutheran or Catholic or Church of Christ, right on down the list, and thank God for churches, we're pro-church, we are one. But the name we bear is not that name. The name we bear is Jesus' name. We've been married to Jesus. We've taken on his name, but hey, we've also taken on all that's behind that name. We are joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Y'all see that? So he talks about marriage here, and he goes on down, and he, 29th verse, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth, cherisheth, just as the Lord does the church. And he goes on down, 32nd verse, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when he's talking about marriage, he's talking about Christ and the church. We're married to Jesus. And, of course, we've taken on his name, least in our culture. Still, for some time now, we're still doing this, that the woman still takes on the name of the husband in the culture that we live in. Brenda used to be, her last name used to be Tire. And no, she wasn't in the automotive business and she didn't sell tires. But her last name was Tire. When she married me, she became a Williams. And she had full access to all my bank accounts, which wasn't a great catch, I can tell you that right now, when we first got married. But she signs her name Williams now. We have, you know, joint signatures and, you know, on accounts and so on. She has full access. In fact, she signs not only her name, but she signs my name. And signed my name for so many years and cashed my checks for so many years, even when I was in construction business, before I got saved and then after I got saved, I worked construction for years and did carpenter work and plumbing. I did all kinds of, I've just done construction my whole life besides pastoring and preaching and teaching. And she'd always sign I just turn it over to her. Why not? She's going to get it all anyway. And she just signed my name. In fact, was it Walmart? Not a few years ago, we did something and I signed my name and they rejected it. The bank rejected it because they didn't recognize my signature. She didn't look enough like Brenda's. You know? She'd been signing it so much, you know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's very common. People do that. But see, the thing is, and if you took it to court, well, goodness gracious, we're both aware of the fact. We're both okay with that, and that's fine. We're one. Hello. She's got my name and everything that goes with it. Hallelujah. Be careful who you hook up with, okay? On both sides of that, okay? So we're married to Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're one with him. We're in Christ, praise God. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. So we've taken on that name. He gave it to us as a power of attorney there in Mark 16. We took it on when we married into the family. Amen? You know, another way, 2 Corinthians 5. Turn there, 2 Corinthians 5. When you're thinking about somebody giving a name to you, why would somebody do that? Well, there's a couple of good reasons there we just looked at. Give you a couple more here. 2 Corinthians 5. This is a very common scripture. We should all know this one. 17th verse says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Now all things are of God, meaning what happened to you. Not everything that goes on in your life. That's really been twisted, misquoted. Everything that happens to you is not God. But the new birth, everything is God. Being saved is God. And everything in being saved is of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Because really, things didn't change a whole lot on the outside when you got saved. You look in the mirror, you look the same. Might have smiled a little more, but you still look the same. You didn't lose any years. Your hair didn't turn colors. You know, you just look the same. And you know, the house and everything just looks the same. Everything looks the same. Everything on the outside. Nothing changed out there, but what changed was on the inside. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away inside here. All things have become new inside here. And all things are of God inside here. The new birth is God, is a God thing, not a man thing. It's what God does, not what man does. And everything about it is what God does. Amen? And all things are of God in here. Who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's good. He saved us to go help others. He blessed us to bless others. He healed us to heal others. He helped us to help others. Amen. That is, 19th verse, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're about reconciling people to Christ, bringing people to Jesus. 20th verse, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, there'd be a reason to confer a name or to pass a name on to someone. If someone is your representative or someone is an ambassador, just like we have ambassadors in the United States that go into foreign countries and represent the United States of America. They even have their own little embassy, their own little place that they live that's sovereign, not even subject to the laws of that country because they represent the United States. A United States embassy has sovereign rule over that plot of ground wherever it is. People can even get sanctuary in there. They can run in there, and the military and the police, the city, local, and even national governments of those countries cannot invade that embassy because it's sovereign territory. Because it bears the name of the country. And the man or woman that is there representing the country is an ambassador. Hallelujah. Well, I'm an ambassador for Christ. How about you? I bear his name. In some sense, in this world, a lot of things go on, but I have diplomatic immunity. I'm in the world, but not of it. I don't have to be affected by it. I have a sovereign piece of ground here as a Christian, as a believer. I love that. I have a safe haven. It's the secret place of the Most High. I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I can run to him. In fact, and this is interesting. Was it Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Isn't that right? I'm safe in that name. I'm saved in that name. I'm delivered in that name. I'm an ambassador for Christ. That name's been given to me as an ambassador. That name's been given to me as a bride. That name's been given to me as a power of attorney. Amen? And then kind of like a power of attorney, the name's been given us to do business. Now, I say that because you can do business under a name and not have anything to do with the power of attorney. I mean, I worked for a company for years and did business in the name of that Trinity Produce. I did sold wholesale produce, but they never signed anything over to me. I didn't have a power of attorney. I didn't write any checks or anything, but I could order things for that company as a representative of that company. Hello. Just like anybody in any business could call in and order something for the company as an agent or as an employee. You don't have a power of attorney. That's a little more technical. Are you with me? Are you out there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The more y'all get involved, the quicker I'll let you go. Woo, hallelujah. All of a sudden felt something there. Okay. So we have the power of attorney. We have marriage. We have ambassador. And then we have just business. Or as we say, the young generation, business. Just got business happening. Amen? Let's turn over to Mark 13 chapter and look at something here. Mark 13, and this will might be the final example, but I'm not going to close right away, so stay with me. Mark 13. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Thank God for the name. Amen? I want to stir you with all these things I'm saying here to realize that It has nothing to do with your worthiness. It has nothing to do with your ability. It has nothing to do, you know, with you being better than anybody else when it comes to praying in the name of Jesus. It has just to do with the fact that you married into the family, all right? It has to do with the fact that you're the one he signed it over to. It has to do with the fact that you are the ambassador of Christ. And with that comes rights and privileges. We make such a big deal out when we pray, trying to get our faith up, trying to believe, trying to get everything squared away, trying to get everything just right. And I believe we should live holy and live right and repent when we sin and so on and so forth. But I'm not going to beat myself over the head when I'm down there praying in Jesus' name when I've done everything I know to do, done the best I can. I am it. I'm telling you, there is nobody else. It's you and me. The church is it. We're the last vestige of hope this world has. We're the one that has been given the name. We need to start using it and start praying it and quit worrying about whether you're worthy and whether it's going to happen or not. Just get out there and use the name and let him back it up. Hallelujah. He said he would. We've got to trust that he'll do it. Amen? Yeah. You mean it's dependent on me? Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a sad thing, but it is. It's dependent on us. He's dependent on us to go out there and use that name. God will do nothing without us. I didn't say it. That's the Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. He's the one that sent us into the world. He's the one that told us to lay hands on the sick. He's told us to pray. He told us to pray His kingdom come, His will be done. Told us to do it. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Now, God forbid, if God won't do anything without us, God forbid we do anything without Him. Because if the Lord doesn't build a house, they that labor in vain. They that build, build in vain. So we need to do everything we do with Him, or do everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, the Bible says, do all in the name of the Lord. We ought to pray that name on all of our endeavors. Pray that name over our children. Pray that name over ourselves, our bodies, our business, our church, and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Because we've been given that name to use. It's been given to men whereby we might be saved. Amen. Might be delivered and might be set free. Hallelujah. See, there's a secret. There's a key here, see, that we're missing. I think many of us miss it. The church has missed it. I've missed it. You've missed it. We've all missed it. Is that we've just tried to beat this thing through by ourselves. And here all this time we have this name to use we hadn't been using. And we're kind of hesitant to use it and kind of unworthy and feel like we shouldn't be using it. And God forbid that we pray in Jesus' name. And yet that's the very thing God told us to do. And the devil try to keeps us from trying to, he tries to keep us from using the name. I'm going to teach not tonight, but I want to teach on the book of Acts, the use of the name in the book of Acts. And you'll be amazed over and over how many times the Pharisees and the scribes and everybody tried to stop the disciples from teaching in that name. They hated that name. They knew there was power and they wanted them to quit mentioning that name. You ever notice when you're, just talking about the church, maybe on your job or relatives or so on and so forth, not a whole lot of problem. They're talking about the church or somebody will say something about like the good Lord or the man upstairs or the good book. And, that's okay. But when you say Jesus, man, that's a whole other deal altogether. People start backing up and getting a little nervous, thinking you're a fanatic. I mean, the good book, the man upstairs, the good Lord, and hello. But when you put the name Jesus on it, all of a sudden, my goodness, everybody starts shaking. Well, the Bible says the devils tremble at that name. I believe they do. Because there's power in that name. And we've even kind of made a compromise here. Now listen, don't go out and blast anybody, and we're pro-church, and so, we're not trying to, trying to blast people. Thank God for Christians, believers all around the world. But if we're not cautious, we'll just start talking about Christ and Christ's name and Christ and Christ and not use the name Jesus. In the Bible, they said Jesus or Jesus Christ. Christ is just a title. Jesus is a name. Christ is the title, Messiah. Old Testament Messiah, New Testament Christ. Hebrew Messiah. Greek Christ, Christos. The anointed one. That's what it means. The anointed one. He was the one anointed. What's his name? Jesus. Amen. Amen. So when we say the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ought to say in the name of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, and that, There's a teaching there too. But the name Jesus is the name, just like I would say doctor. Well, on any given Sunday, you know, there's Dr. Galloway, there's Dr. Burr, there's different doctors. There could be more than, there are more than one doctor in this church all the time. So if I said doctor, you wouldn't know who I was talking about until I said Dr. Burr or Dr. Galloway. Are you with me? Then I've identified by name who we're talking about. Jesus is his name. Ooh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Good stuff, amen. Okay, Mark 13, found it? Okay. Mark 13, this is Jesus speaking and talking about doing business. Mark 13, notice he's talked about the day, the hour. This is interesting concerning end times. He said no man knows the day, the hour. 32nd verse, but of that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. I love that. And I always get tickled at, you know, prophecy teachers who will set a date. Listen, nobody knows the date, okay? I think we can know the times and the seasons. I believe we're living in the last days, but I don't know the date. As soon as you set a date, you're automatically wrong because God says no man knows the day. I got a scripture on it. Jesus is the one who said it. And Jesus himself doesn't even know the day, nor the hour. So we can't set a date because we don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. We can know the times. We can see things happening, but we don't know the exact day. He could come any day. He could come today. I don't know. We ought to be ready. Amen. And that's the point of this parable, incidentally. He says this. He says, take heed, watch and pray, 33rd verse, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Everybody say authority to his servants. Okay. And to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Well, one reason for God to give someone his name is to bestow upon them some authority, to continue his work, as it were. I believe that's probably the main reason we have it as the church. Once we're born again and saved, and we've been delivered and been set free and become a Christian, we call on that name. We've taken on the name because we're the church, the bride of Christ, and we've had it conferred upon us through Jesus Christ in Mark 16 chapter. We need to understand it is given to us now. We have it for an intent and purpose. It's on us to continue the work. Because the Son of Man is as if a man were to take a far journey, go to a far country. Bear in mind, this example is the one Jesus used, not me. Y'all see that? So if you can imagine, Jesus has gone to a far country. Well, we know he's in heaven. We know he's at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. And we're down here. But whatever he did while he was down here, he wanted to continue. So he gave authority to his servants to continue what he did when he was down here. Amen? I mean, if he were a builder, he would build, say he built houses. And he was going to be gone a while, so he gave authority to his servants to build houses. Gave him his name to write checks on, order material, and build houses, and so on and so forth. I always like that example because that's kind of, it's kind of indicative of the church in one sense. If Jesus was known far and wide of building houses with central air and heat in it, you'd think if he left and gave authorities to servants that they would keep building houses with central air and heat in it, wouldn't you think? If they're going to do what he did and build them like he built them, wouldn't that be right? But it's amazing. The church has come along and says, well, yeah, Jesus put central air and heat in it, but, you know, the most important thing is that you have a house, and we're just going to build houses and leave out the heat and leave out the air. Because you can live without central air and heat, but you got to have a house. It's kind of like saying, well, you know, Jesus did save people and forgive their sins and take them to heaven. And he also healed and filled with the Holy Ghost, but really the most important thing is that they're saved. So, you know, healing is not all that important. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not all that important. The most important thing is that you're saved. Well, I wouldn't argue with that. That the most important thing is to be saved. Who would argue with that? The most important thing is to have a house. Goodness gracious, who'd argue with that? But the point is not that. The point is Jesus built houses and put central air and heat in them. And when he comes back, he wants houses with central air and heat in them. Or else we're not really building them like he built them. Are you with me? And he gave us the authority to build them like he built them. And if he had a farm and he raised watermelons, and we decided somewhere down the line, because he's been gone a while, that we want to plant yellow squash, We might still have a farm, we might still be growing things, but we're not really growing what he grew. He had the best watermelons in all the world, renowned for the watermelons he had. He spit those seeds further than any seed you could spit. Now when he comes back, he's not going to be interested in yellow squash. He's going to make sure you carried on the name, carried on the company, did what he did, what he was good at. And that was watermelons. Amen? Well, something to think about. Well, how in the world are we going to do what Jesus did? He gave us his name. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? What he did. Now, when I get in falsetto, you know I'm serious. What he did. Come on. All right. Take heed, watch, pray. 33rd verse. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each man his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight or at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest suddenly he comes suddenly and he finds you sleeping, not doing what he did. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch. And the only reason we wouldn't be doing what he did is because we weren't using the authority he gave us. Just to sense this, the authority he gave us was his name. Look at Luke 9 real quick. Luke 10, and we'll close this out. I know I said that was the last one I was going to turn to, and I lied to you, and I apologize. Come on. I just get so stirred up here, it's hard to quit this. But I will. Notice the 9th chapter, 1st verse, Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. 10th chapter, 1st verse. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, not just the 12, now we've got 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself was to go. And the 9th verse, and he told them this, heal the sick there, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So he gave them authority to do the same thing, told them to do the same thing the disciples did. The 17th verse says, then the 70 returned, 70, not the 12, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So where was the authority? It was in the name. And it wasn't just the great 12 that did it. Thank God for the 12. Special 12. I know, question about it. God picked them out. But we can't lay all this just on the 12 because the 70 did the same thing and God told the whole church to do it. And the question was, how can we do this? Well, it's real simple. We do it with the name he has given us. And it has to do with the business that he's in. We've been given the name. By marriage, a power of attorney, as an ambassador, and to carry on the business. So we need to get on with the business of the gospel. Amen. Healing the sick. That's part of it. That's not the only thing, but that's part of it. Getting our prayers answered, and that's another subject we'll get into and talk. In fact, I'll just take one night. We'll just talk about praying in the name. Talk about how the Bible tells us it's a legal matter how to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray in the name of God the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And, of course, Jesus is the one that said that. We'll take a whole night and talk about that. We'll talk about the book of Acts and how it was used in the book of Acts. And, you know, praise God. It's a powerful, powerful thing we've been given. Yes. But make no mistake about it. We have been given the name.
Yes. Amen.
We've been given it. You may not have silver and gold, but you've got the name.
Yes, we do.
Amen. You may not have everything you think you need, but you got what you need to get what you need. You may be in a mess, and you may not see daylight in the natural, but you got something, and that something is the most powerful thing in the universe. You have the name, Jesus, and you have the right to use it. Woo! Hallelujah.